What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
All right, everybody, it's here. The March to Spring Training and Opening Day is officially upon us. Hey, I'm Rob Bradford from Baseballs and Boring, and we'll have you covered every single day with instant reactions to late-breaking signings, determining which players are, yes, truly in the best shape of their lives, and behind-the-scenes stories from all the excitement and intrigue that spring training brings. Follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, Bob, let's talk a little baseball. Pitchers and catchers. Bradenton, Florida. Have you been down there many times to cover spring training?
Oh, a lot. Not so much recently, but
going
back,
how far?
Going back to, I have some great tape I should show you. But it's just fun tape to watch privately.
Yeah.
With the skipper, Jim Leland, and some of the stuff that we did with him. But before, you know, wireless mic became a popular thing that used by all networks that control sports these days. But we had some great moments with wireless mics with him.
Were you there the day that?
Yes, Barry Bonds. It was a lot of our video was taken when it was used. Just like if you remember Chuck Knoll and Jerry Glanville.
Yes.
Back in the Astrodome.
Yes, yes.
Where Chuck Knoll went up to him and said, if you ever, he grabbed his hand, shook it. Michael Chalik, our photographer, who's on top of a lot in his day, he was there that day for Bonds as well. He was that video was taken. It was our video, and it was taken by everyone as if it was theirs. Video piracy before it happens routinely now, but back then, that was it.
What was your relationship like with Ron Cook back then? What was that, 90, 93, 92, 91?
That stuff with Noel was in the 80s.
Well, no, Ron was at the center of the Bonds-Verdon exchange Ron was asking the questions
I had Barry Bonds on live TV that same night from his apartment in Bradenton.
What?
For 7 straight minutes. And I had to sign a deal through his agent that was faxed to us in Bradenton. Yeah.
What did he say? I've never heard this part of the story. Oh, yeah, did he defend himself?
Yes, to a degree. But he also understood what was going on. He didn't like... And the other thing, but I wanted to do it regardless. His agent wanted all the questions that we were going to ask, and I gave him, and he only just one of them. The rest of them he was okay with, but I thought, you know, because it was the story that day, I didn't care. I wanted to get him on the air one way or another.
And we went to his apartment.
Yes.
And what was that like? Was he cordial to you?
Yeah, it was good. Back then. I had a pretty good relationship with him. It was still young Barry Bonds, and he was starting to get this way that he, you know, got a little dissy.
Do you remember what he said? The gist of it? Did he say?
You know, you could find it, I bet, if you look. I don't remember. All I remember is it took a lot of doing to get him on television that night. But I do remember, and Jim Leland did a great job. I mean, he was not going to take it anymore, and it finally had crossed the line, and he had disrespected one of his coaches, Bill Verdon, and it was one of those things. So,
oh my God, Bob, look at this. March 5th, 1991. You know of this story, right? Limits, the famous Barry Bonds, Bill Verdon blow up at spring training.
Oh, yeah.
Where Jim Leland stepped in and scored major points, I think, with Pirate fans. But also Ron Cook was at the center of this because in the interview afterward, where Leland was like,
yeah, Leland was adamant good in there,
that he was right here. There's Ron, Bob. Now, would you and Ron hang out? together at Bradenton or anywhere? Were you friends?
Yeah, friends. Yes, at the time.
He was a little gruff. He was a little gruff.
It became more friendly as the years got. You know, yeah. We got to know each other. But yes, but I remember, man, that was, we used to go there all the time. Mixon's was the great place to go for orange juice. We would, back in the day, Joe. This is in the 1980s, early 90s. We would take two satellite trucks. We didn't have what is available today, which is so easy to deal with. We had to actually drive satellite trucks from Pittsburgh to Anna Maria Island, where we were staying, and doing live from the beach every single night.
There.
Yeah, it was a whole different way of doing things. Listen, and it was a lot of fun.
Listen to this, Bob. March 5th, 1991, from TampaBay.com. They picked up this story. Barry Bonds' unhappiness over his contract boiled over Monday into an on-field shouting match with manager Jim Leland. In an obscenity-laced outburst, Leland shouted, "I've taken your blank for 3 years, and I'm not going to take it anymore. I've been kissing your blank for 3 years, and I'm not going to do it again." And they give, obviously, the Leland stuff. And then guess what they say, Bob?
What do they say?
Bonds granted Pittsburgh television station KDKA and ESPN Live interviews Monday to explain the flap with Leland. KDK reporter Bob Pompiani. Limits.
Said, way back
said
when, baby.
Bonds agreed to the interview because it would not be edited before
that
airing.
Was his condition. He said, no edited interviews. No one's going to. And I said, Barry, I have no intention of changing any of your words. I want to hear your side of this. And we agree. Now, at the time, I had to clear it with our news director. You know how local television is tough to get that kind of clump of time.
Yeah.
But it was the lead story of the news that day. And so we had a whole bunch of time. I think it was over 7 minutes.
That is incredible, Bob. You were at the center of a storm.
Yeah, that was. But there were a lot of those situations that came up. But by being there, you know, you just got to be there every single day. You never know what you're going
to
see.
Stuff like that never happens anymore. No, I mean, it does from time to time, somewhere, but it's not like it used to be.
No, and the budgets involved and what people want to spend, you know, right. It's just difficult to do.
Yep. Bonds told Pompiani his displeasure with news photographers and the media, maybe with Ron, he meant, stems from news reports about him being unhappy in Pittsburgh. He denied being unhappy, said he doesn't understand why he has a negative image in Pittsburgh. I just want to play baseball, he said. He told you that, Bob, and I've known that story for years. Of course, everybody does, but I never knew this part of the story that you went to his apartment and got his side of it.
Yeah, it was a pretty big coup.
You were a regular Wally Cronkite out there.
I remember when I saw it immediately, I called back to our station. I said, you're not going to believe what's happening here. I said, Barry Bonds is just being absolutely torn apart by his manager in a profanity-laced thing, and we have it. And their biggest concern was, we got to make sure we don't have the swear words. I said, well, we'll take care of that. But more than that, I want to make sure I can get green-lighted by you to go to, because I have asked him, he's considering it, if we can go to his apartment. But I need a lot of time, and I don't want it to be edited. And they had some problems with that because they, you know, how much time can you devote? It was a one-hour news. We didn't have a four or five, just a six that day. I said, a lot of time. It's the only thing people will be talking about.
Man, I bet you won the ratings that night. That is a coup.
We had big numbers that night, yeah.
Bob, let me ask you this, because I've always wondered this. My greatest regret in the news reporting sphere from my whole career, I had just done a nice article on D. Rizzo and Steve Rich.
Yeah,
and they're
both great guys.
Great guys. I saw Steve Rich this morning at Uptown Coffee.
There you go.
Believe it or not. It's funny this comes up. So I visited their office at PPG Place and did a nice story. So I guess D. Rizzo thought he would repay me in some way. He had left a message. This was before Mario's comeback when nobody knew. He left the message on my work phone at the Trib. He didn't say that. He said, I've got something to tell you. I've got news to tell you. I want to tell you something. And it was that. And I never got the message till late. I don't even look at my work email here. I'm not going to pick up my. I was never in the office.
Cell phones that we relied
on. And so how would I ever get that message? I was never in the office. So, Kevin Allen, I believe, broke that news nationally anyway. Where were you, Bob? How did you have any suspicions with all the people you know that Mario was coming back? Did you know what was happening for you then?
Yeah, definite suspicions. Stan Severin eventually was the guy who was there to break that story, which was great. Yeah, we had ideas that was going on, but weren't sure, couldn't get it confirmed one way or the other. But yeah, so when it finally broke, it was like, holy, this guy's actually going to do this. And Jay Caulfield was right there in the middle of it. So they kept the secret very well for a long period of time.
I got here in November of 89. I started working in the media and high school stuff anyway in 91. Became a Penguins beat writer. Now we're here all these years later. It's by far no close second the biggest sports story I ever covered or was involved with. No close second.
Well, I think just that night, I remember that night vividly when he first came on the ice and the way in Mario Lemieux fashion that he would come back, not only just come back, but dominate the game basically.
You know? Not even that night. I'm just talking about the fact that Mario Lemieux announced he was coming out of, what was it, 2.5, 3.5 years?
Yeah, and you know, Austin had a lot to do with that. You know, his son, he wanted to.
What a story,
Bob. Play in front of his son. It was unbelievable, yep. It was one of the best ever, for sure. One you didn't expect either. Play with Jágr. Go ahead.
I'll never forget that. I think I might have been able to break that story if I just picked
up the
phone.
I can't believe it. But you know what, though? The work phones are hard to keep up with. It's the personal cell phones where you get all of your information.
You have a regret, Bob, from your news career? One that got away? One you should have had? One you could have had? Anything like that?
No, nothing that comes to that level, no.
Thank you.
If only I had checked my cell phone or my voicemail.
My work voicemail. Who checks their... We still have phones back there, don't we, Limits?
Yeah, I don't know if they have a voicemail on the phone that's way in the back here on the left side.
They're just so obsolete these days. You don't even bother checking. And sometimes you should, I guess. That's the lesson there.
I know. Which I still don't pay attention to, by the way. Anyway, let's get to some actual baseball questions. I didn't mean to go on that tangent.
No, I'm glad you did. It brought back memories.
That is great stuff, Bob. That you got that story. You must have been feeling, you know, the feeling when you get the story.
But just the setup today is so, back then, we had to drive those satellite trucks I told you about to where he is, wires all the way up through his balcony. I mean, it was a big setup to do it. It wasn't like it is today where they have this live view. You just had to push a button and you're live. Not that at all. In order to get it done through satellites, we had to do it that way. And it was... Barry was a little miffed that we took so much time, but I said, we have to do this the right way if we're going to do it the way you want it to be, which is totally live, and I agree, but we got to set it up properly. So it was funny.
Oh, wait. How did I not catch that? The whole thing was totally live?
Everything was live.
They let you go 7 minutes?
Yes.
Holy horse follicles.
Yeah. It was really good. Fun.
Now, when you went to Steelers camp, you could just walk into Jack Lambert's room and stuff like that if you talked to Joe Gordon, the PR guy?
Yeah, as long as Joe knew what you're up to, you can do it.
So you go down and knock on Lambert's
door and start talking to him. Yeah, it was very simple, I thought. Not only that, we had Jack Lambert once, I remember this, in a studio doing a segment. He refused to get makeup. Everyone who comes in, there's makeup artists. You're supposed to get makeup. He did not want makeup. But he was told, you know, you should get makeup. So he ended up getting makeup. I've never seen a man squirm so much in his seat putting on makeup. It was funny.
Did you get along well with him?
Yeah. Yeah, I really liked talking to him. So,
man, those were the days.
Yeah, huh? It's totally changed. You can't do that anymore. You can't.
I mean, even when I got there in the late 90s covering the Penguins, it was so different than today. Well, they had their training camp in Wilkes-Barre 1 year for a week. Remember when they used to do that?
Yeah.
And after camp, it was just like every man for himself. And I wound up driving me and Steige in the front seat and Andrew Ferentz, the defenseman, in the back
Number
seat.
Number seven, Andrew Ferentz.
We listened to Johnny Cash the whole way back from Wilkes-Barre. He really liked Ring of Fire.
But yeah, I mean, that's when you can get to know guys so easily.
Yes.
And it became friendships, you know, just.
It's just not like that. And the people who really benefited in the end were your watchers and readers and listeners.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all gone. Most gone.
Yeah, it's just sanitized, a generic, sanitized view of
teams
everything.
Cover themselves. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, you know,
and
City
athletes
Hall
have their own
City
way.
Hall.
If they want to get a message out, they do it themselves on their brand. That's it.
That's right. And there's something to be said for that, too. Like, if I was an athlete, I'd want to do that. But I just feel like people out there are deprived of what you used to get. And the last people you want covering the White House is the White House, or City Hall is City Hall, or a sports team is the sports team itself.
Right. Because you're never going to get
other than
whatever information they want put out, that's what you get.
Yes.
And you don't get anything beyond that, nor can you question a lot of it either.